You're listening to the No BS Nutrition Podcast. I'm registered dietitian Hannah McGee.
And I'm neuroscience PhD student Tariq Youssef. And for the next hour, we're going to tackle popular nutrition topics from a scientific lens, promoting fact over fiction with no BS.
Happy January. We hope that 2021 is going all right for you.
Last time, one of the things that we talked about was the market's influence on diets in the media. And I was looking at the Google Trends today for diet topics, just like all encompassing any kind of diet. And last year, the peak was in January, and then it kind of went down. And around Christmas, it like really goes down. Like no one's searching for diets, and the peak is starting. Like it's starting to go back up again. So it seems like people are Googling for more diets right now.
Well, I have to tell you that as a dietitian and a, you know, primarily healthy lifestyle and food blogger, I see that trend in my website traffic as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. Like, this happened to me last year and it happened again this year. Mid-December, my site traffic drops. Like, it significantly drops for, like, the, you know, the 15th of December until the end of December. And then, I kid you not, January 1st, it starts to creep up. And then this year, January 2nd, January 3rd, January 4th, it shot up again. Like it just, and it's because people, like, I don't know, most of my recipes for, mainly for search engine optimization purposes are, you know, labeled like healthy chia pudding or something like that. So
sure,
people are searching like healthy recipes or chia pudding or, you know, things like that. All these quote-unquote healthy recipes.
Alternatives to processed food.
Yeah, exactly. Like so then they're finding my recipes on things like Pinterest or Google or whatever. So I'm getting this like increase in traffic. Sorry, my nose is really itchy.
That's okay. You know, I'm kind of distracted because I'm noticing you're wearing your lovely Christmas necklace. It looks really good on you.
This one. Yeah, from Caitlin.
Yeah.
Cater.
Shout out.
I was going to say something, but I actually want to save it for the end of the episode, so.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about this week's topic.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's going to be fun. Also, because this episode, I'm going to give a little backstory. For this episode, Tariq and I talked about it, and we're actually going to skip the BS of the week this week because...
Kind of.
Yeah. Once we get into the main topic, or really the only topic of the episode, it's basically going to be like a bunch of BS of the week, BS of the weeks together. So, you know, one after the other. So I was like, we might as well just skip it. Because it's going to be really fun to just kind of debunk a bunch of things relating to this topic. And anyways, when I was going through writing my notes for this episode, there was a few things we'd already kind of touched on a little bit in past episodes that are going to come up again. And you guys will know what I'm talking about as you listen to this episode. And so I listened back to some of our like early episodes of the podcast.
Okay.
And I was like, I mean, I hope you guys still think we're funny, but I was like, we were so funny. Like,
we're our biggest fans.
We seriously are our biggest fans. We're like, we're so funny. Why don't we have like 20 brand deals right now?
I don't know why. They're
or like,
coming.
Yeah, they're coming. So anyways, I mean, if you don't have anything to add, I guess we can just kind of jump right into the topic.
You know, I have so much going on my mind, but none of it is relevant to what we're going to be talking about today. You know what's going on in my mind.
Yes, I do.
And I'm just waiting.
You've just got a lot
going
on.
But maybe I'll
reveal
later.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll reveal later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, never know.
That's enough suspense. I think we should just get into it.
Okay. So today, in light of, you know, the fairly recent news that Keeping Up with the Kardashians has completed its last season. They've taped their last season. Their last season has aired, I believe. We wanted to do an episode to bid farewell to the Kardashians.
No matter who you are, whether or not you're a fan. Also, like, what does that even mean, being a fan of the Kardashians? It could be so many different things. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to love them, but maybe you enjoy watching reality TV. Whether or not you've watched it religiously, Keeping Up with the Kardashians and all of the spinoffs have touched everybody's life.
Seriously.
Like, many people's lives, at least.
Yeah.
Because Kim and Kanye, specifically, have been referenced as, like, America's royal family. You know what I mean? Like, they're so famous. It's, I was trying to think, like, are they A-list celebrities? I don't know. They're kind of their own thing, because they're not B-list. They're so famous, but they're not, like, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. You know
what I mean?
Yeah,
they're not, like, and as they'll respected. Never be. Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is.
I would
they're,
say...
They're, like, their own kind of celeb... They're, like... Maybe they're the biggest... new kind of celebrity, like the era of social media stardom
or reality TV
are at the peak. Yeah. Or reality TV, like they surpassed Paris Hilton for sure.
Oh, 100%. And yeah, you're right,
which is funny because Kim started out as like Paris's lackey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, you're right. I was gonna say, like, they're definitely, when you first mentioned this, I was gonna say they're definitely A-list, but, like, in a different way. Because, obviously, like you said, they're so famous and they're so rich. Yeah. They have so much money, so wealthy. But
except, like, Kanye's in billions
of
dollars.
Anyways,
I never understand
Kanye, that. Like, one minute he's a billionaire. The next minute he's in billion dollars in debt. So, who knows? But, yeah, you're right. It's almost like they're not, like, respected as much as, like, the A-list, you know, actors or performers or things like that, but they are still that famous. Like, they are, you know, everyone talks about them, everyone follows them, or everyone, you know, at least kind of knows or hears what they're up to. And, like, I don't know if it was one of the episodes, I think it was season one, episode 7, we were talking about Kim, and I don't know if that was the first time we mentioned the Kardashians, but we've definitely mentioned them a handful of times.
I think when we were talking about flat tummy tea, maybe it was one of the first times.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about that in this episode too. And so when I was listening back to that episode, and like I said, I thought we were so funny. We were talking about like how celebrities like Kim Kardashian sign on to promote a lot of these, you know, detox teas and things like that. And this is basically what this whole episode is about. I'm really kind of giving it away here, but we were like, oh God, what did we say? It was something like, we're talking about her being in law school, and then we were like, she's trying to pay for law school. That's why she has to take all these deals.
That really went away quickly. Like that, the whole law
school. No, she's still in it.
Oh, really?
Anyways,
she's still studying for the bar. I'm like, I can't wait to find out more. But yes, yeah, it's so wild how what it's like normalized that these celebrities, you almost look at it and you're like, I know this is fake. Mm-hmm. But and I think I know they know this is fake, but they're still doing it and they're still getting paid millions of dollars for it.
Recently, like this fall, an episode of My Next Guest Needs No Introduction. Do you know that Netflix show?
Oh, David Letterman?
Yes. Yeah. An episode with Kim came out, and so she talked about how she's still in law school. So that was one thing that we were just talking about.
I didn't know she actually is going to law school. I thought she was going to do it on her own.
Well, like, no, sorry. She's studying to be a lawyer.
She's studying.
So she's not in law school, but she's basically, she was like shadowing. She has to work a certain amount of hours.
She's doing a few YouTube videos.
Whatever. Yeah. Basically, what we wanted to talk about in relation to the Kardashians today was a couple things. So, Tarek, I think you have a few things that you want to say about an extension of the Kardashians. Yes. Jonathan.
A food extension.
Yeah. Jonathan Chabon or Chabon, whatever his last name is.
Well, but that's not his name anymore.
It's not even his name. His name is Food God. If those who listen to the Kardashians will know what we're talking
colleague.
About.
He has his own podcast.
Oh, does he? Amazing. And then we're going to kind of walk through a bit of a timeline of all of the Kardashian nutrition and weight loss and health kind of BS, I guess, that they've involved themselves in or you know, backed or promoted over the years. And we're going to debunk those things. So the first thing that I do want to say related to that is just to kind of give a bit of a disclaimer before we get into it, is that, you know, the Kardashians, all of them, like Kim, what are they? Kim, Kourtney, Khloe, any, and the younger ones, like they all, they grew up in LA. They mm-hmm. grew up in a, you know, in a family that kind of ran with pretty elite circles, like since they were young.
Yeah. Kim went to high school with Paris Hilton.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so they've all, like, from a young age, been really affected or really, like, influenced, I'm sure, by, like, the media or the need to, like, maintain or keep up a certain appearance. And, you know, and then in their 20s...
Paparazzi.
The show started. And so they've all been so heavily scrutinized by the media about their bodies or their weight or their size. So it's really, like... no surprise to me, and I don't want it to come across like we're blaming the Kardashians entirely, because I think, you know, it's no surprise that if you grew up like that and you're scrutinized by the media, that you're going to be pretty preoccupied or obsessed with your appearance and your weight. Because in the show, and I know I talked to you about this when I was recently like rewatching the show, is that like they're constantly commenting on each other's bodies and saying, oh my God, right. you look so skinny, or like, what are you doing? Like, you lost weight or whatever. And
they all very publicly document their own, what they would consider to be a transformation.
Yeah, exactly. Their journeys and their diets and their workouts and all that stuff. And like, even in the show, like Khloe was in the early years, like picked on for being like the bigger sister. And when Kim gained weight in pregnancy, she was always made fun of by the media, like, heavily, which is obviously horrible for anyone. Like, no one should be made fun of for gaining weight or losing weight or whatever. And same with like their brother Rob, when he gained weight and was like struggling with a lot of issues, which cannot be easy to do in the public eye, he was always put down by the media and even his family about his weight and his eating habits and whatnot. And that was all documented on the show. So I just wanted to say, like, we're not necessarily shaming them or blaming them for this like obsession that they have with appearances or with being thin. You know, there's definitely plenty of things that they've done or decisions they've made or things they've said that have been really like tone deaf or offensive in the past.
Right.
And I'm not excusing those things, but it's just like, I'm not shaming them for like wanting to look a certain way or wanting to be a certain weight or whatever, because just like it's, you know, it's no one else's fault that they might feel pressure from society or the media to look a certain way. I'm, you know, that's kind of what they've fallen prey to as well.
I think you put that perfectly. And you know, I think two things can be true. Like you said, I think people can make tone-deaf decisions at the same... and maybe knowingly make tone-deaf decisions at the same time as being, you know, as falling victim to the, like, society's expectations of people in the entertainment industry. I think both things can be true. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that reminds me of the other thing I was going to say about the David Letterman show, is that on the show, when Kim was interviewed, she like mentioned or admitted that like in the past she's like endorsed a lot of things that she didn't use or didn't take, and two, like, she knew like was pretty scammy. And she was like, I definitely did stuff in the past where, you know, I'd agree to deals like for, you know, weight loss things. And then the next minute I'd agree to like a fast food deal, you know what I mean? To promote a fast food restaurant and stuff like that. I'm assuming
now that they all have their own companies, like their beauty line, their fashion line, etc. Like they don't really need to do endorsements anymore, right?
Yeah, I feel like, well, we'll talk about this.
Okay.
They probably don't need to, but they still do. Some of them still do. And we'll get into that. So what do you think? Where should we start? Do you want to take the reins and talk about Food God, or do you want us to run through the timeline first?
I think we should go through the timeline first.
Okay. So let's start. Think back. It's 2010. Mm-hmm. The Keeping Up with the Kardashians, I think, started in 2009, or that's when they started to gain some fame and attention. So it's 2010. Think back to 2010. What were you doing in 2010, Tarek?
Oh my gosh, I was in high school, probably, same. I don't know, being a huge nerd, not having a social life. I was in IB for whatever reason. Yeah. That was what I was doing.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
what were you doing?
I was in high school as well. I was in sports, high school. That was pretty much my life, school and sports. So January 2010, Kim starts to endorse Quick Trim diet pills and diet products. Have you heard of Quick Trim?
No, but I can already guess.
So the only reason I've heard of it is because of the show. In the early seasons of the show, they like mention her endorsing Quick Trim. So Quick Trim is, yeah, like basically a line of weight loss pills and weight loss powders and products. And on like the bottle of the products, Kim was like obviously posing in a bikini. And that was, you know, it was basically like, take these products and you'll get Kim Kardashian's body.
Right.
And so in January 2010, Kim told, I believe, OK Magazine that she used several of the Quick Trim products to quickly shed 15 pounds and some of her curviness in just a few weeks.
Wow, congratulations.
So after that, Kim was actually sued because...
Oh, really?
Because customers of Quick Trim, you know, said that the products did not live up to those claims.
That reminds me, there was a collective action lawsuit against Skechers Shape Ups because people were like, they didn't make me lose weight.
No, but Kim, that wasn't... I don't have that on my list, but that was another product that Kim... endorsed.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was it was like, get Kim Kardashian's butt.
There was a class action on that.
Well, no kidding. Anyone promising like you'll look like Kim Kardashian for wearing sneakers, like, come on. So, so basically the firm that was suing her because they said, you know, the claims she was making about the products were false, misleading, unsubstantiated, and that there was no, you know, reliable scientific evidence supporting any of those claims. So no kidding. Mm-hmm. Now, the Quick Trim products, they claim to detoxify and clean the body by eliminating water weight and bloating. And this, from what I've read, is probably likely due to some of the laxatives that some of the products might contain.
Incredible.
Yeah. Lovely. So there's really no, like the firm suing her said, there's really no evidence to back up those claims. And it's also important to note that diet pills and like these products, whatever powders, that contain laxatives can also be potentially harmful. You know, if you take...
Oh, totally.
Like how Kim was saying she took several of the Quick Trim products. If they all contained laxatives, like, you could be in some... you'd have... There's potential for harm there. And
dehydration.
You know, dehydration, electrolyte imbalances, etc.
Totally.
So some of the ingredients I just thought I would highlight in some of these Quick Trim products are things like oat fiber and senna leaf extract, which is a pretty well-known laxative. And senna is actually like an over-the-counter laxative that people take. And then other things like green tea leaf extract, Capsimax, which I learned was hot pepper extract. So again, supposedly supposed to like boost your metabolism or burn fat or whatever it is.
Oh my,
And then it says you get nutrients as well from super fruits like acai berries and raspberries and blueberries. So it's just a really all around healthy product.
No, absolutely. Unfortunately, laxative use is really has been associated and continues to be associated with a lot of disordered eating,
yeah.
right? Because it's a quick way to lose water weight, like, you know, like people were saying, like the class action lawsuit was saying about this product.
Yeah.
But there's also nothing, like, aside from that, there's nothing, like, enticing to me about absolutely evacuating your brains out. And being so uncomfortable from taking these products.
Yeah, I agree. I don't understand. But I guess, I don't know. Something I've realized is that a lot of, you know, big fans of celebrities or influencers, like people who almost like worship these influencers or reality TV stars or whatever, will honestly do whatever...
Yeah.
They're, you know, the influencer or the TV star tells them to do. So that's kind of the scary thing. And that's what...
There's more and more extreme versions of that lately.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
We'll talk off pod. There's something I saw the other day
that really
freaked me out.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. We have to talk. Okay. So that is... That's number one. So that's 2010. Now we're moving along, moving down the timeline to about 2014. I think this is like the first... that any Kardashian endorsements of this product surfaced. So the next product we're going to talk about is the waist trainer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Which, does Kim kind of still do that with her Skims line or whatever?
Yeah, so actually, as I was like looking up waist trainers and what they were all about and what their claims are, yeah, Kim's line Skims came up, like appeared on Google, and she does still have in her shapewear line like some almost like corset style.
Like, they're not named waist trainers, but that's basically what some of them are.
Yeah.
They're not really Spanx. Like, it's not the same thing.
Well, some, yeah, so she has like shapewear like products like Spanx, and then she also apparently, yeah, from what I saw, it looks like she has some things like corsets or waist trainers as well.
So 2014, really 2021.
To 2021, exactly. So, yeah, so 2014 is kind of the first time that it surfaced. And I should say that this one is not just Kim. It seems like all of the, not all of them, maybe not Kendall, but all of the Kardashian sisters, Kim, Khloe, Kylie, Kourtney, all were kind of on board with the whole waist trainer thing and promoting them
on social
media.
Maybe we should add to, like, that they're such a good example because they're so well known, but... Also, so many other celebrities are promoting these or like similar products.
Yeah, too, and other influencers too.
Yeah.
So a little bit about waist trainers for those who aren't familiar. A waist trainer is basically like a shaping garment, like a corset. And it was funny, the article that I was reading from Medical News Today was like, similar to corsets, which fell out of style due to discomfort and health concerns. Like, that's what they compared waist trainers to. So yeah, the assumption or like the idea behind a waist trainer is that when you tighten it or like pull it, this action like is supposed to give you like a sleeker, smaller waist by like pulling in your waist or your skin. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And the claim, so I was looking at Hourglass Angel. That's the name of the waist trainer brand, and that is one of the ones that the Kardashians have endorsed. The claims around it are that it will give you an hourglass figure, that sought after hourglass figure. But according to the American Board of Cosmetic Surgery, this is BS. No kidding. So this American Board of Cosmetic Surgery has said that the garment will not drastically change a person's body shape. So please keep that in mind. And that after a person has removed the waist trainer, it's unlikely to have any sort of lasting effect. So sure, while you're wearing it might, you know, cinch in your waist or whatever, or give you some sort of shape. But once you take it off, that shape doesn't last. And then the other claim is that waist trainers help you lose weight, which is just like, if you, you know, walk around that with your brain a little bit, like
we use it wearing your shape ups,
your shape ups and your waist trainer. They don't, how, like, how, how could a waist trainer result in any loss of body fat? Like, the only way you lose weight or you lose fat is by maintaining a caloric deficit, right? Or that negative energy balance. So to me, you know, that you're not altering any of your activity. You're not altering any of your intake. So how does that result in fat loss or weight loss? Some people say that it could be because if you work out in them, you sweat more. But again, that's just like a temporary weight loss from fluid or water that you're losing through sweat. So it's not permanent, like maintainable weight loss.
It's also like all of these things are so extreme. Like working out with like really constrictive clothing is going to lead to like discomfort or maybe even, I don't know, vomiting, for example.
And it can restrict your breathing.
Restrict your breathing. Like there are, that is not a way to pursue health.
No.
And it's definitely not a way to pursue mental health either. Like regardless of like people's physical health. I think people often don't talk about the mental health aspect of all of this stuff, like shapewear and these diet pills, etc. It's not just the physical stuff that's bad.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You're so right. And yeah, like you're right. The impact that it can have on your mental health and the constantly striving to like alter your body and change.
Yeah.
You know.
And just like stressing yourself out.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So anyways, that's kind of the gist on the waist trainers. Really, there's no benefit to wearing them, and actually they can be potentially harmful, especially if you are working out in them. You know, it would be so uncomfortable, it restricts your breathing, and no fun. All right, so now we're moving into a couple years later. We're it's about 2016. So okay, Tarek, where were you in 2016? Let's hear it.
Really good question. Where was I in 2016? Oh, that was a rough year.
Was it?
I think it was the year I got into grad school.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going through it. Where were you?
I was just graduating my undergrad in 2016.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just finished my undergrad and I was...
You were getting ready to do placements.
I was getting ready to do my internship. Yeah, my dietetic internship. So that's what 2016, that's where we were. So the Kardashians in 2016, let me tell you, they really dove into the detox teas.
Wonderful.
So we already kind of talked a little bit about the detox teas, but... I think, again, Kim, Khloe, Kourtney, Kylie, they were all on board with the detox teas and various detox tea brands. I don't know, like, what kind of exclusivity, or maybe they didn't have exclusivity clauses on their brand deals, because it seems like they really bounced around their favorite detox tea brands.
Right, right.
You know, there was, I don't know all the names of them, but there was the ones off the top of my head that I know are, like, Flat Tummy Tea. Which you mentioned, Fit Tea, I think is another one, Skinny Me Tea, Tea Me, like, so there's all these tea brands that they've all kind of been endorsing over the years. So I won't talk about this one for too long, but we do know by now that detox teas don't work, and detox teas have been around, I mean, longer before 2016, but I think 2016 is when the Kardashians kind of picked them up. But most detox teas do contain, again, laxatives. So, you know, like Senna, which is used as an over-the-counter laxative treatment for constipation. So obviously it's going to make you go to the bathroom.
Absolutely. And you know what? We make fun of like, let's say, like, Chinese traditional medicine, and we go, oh, that's so silly, like, these herbs, like, don't do anything for you.
Right.
But modern North America does the same thing, like...
absolutely.
Don't make fun of another... Like, people who make fun of another culture, like, another historic era, like, look in the mirror. Yeah. Like, we're doing the exact same thing people were doing thousands of years ago.
There's so many examples of that.
Thousands of years ago?
I don't know.
Well, whatever. Yeah.
I know what you mean. And there's even beyond teas. Like, there's so many products. And it's really sad to see that for the longest time we're, like, you know, thought of as gross or dirty or whatever because they came from, like you said, like whether it's Asian countries like China or India or any of those places, like And then here in North America, they've now been like co-opted as like cool, trendy wellness products, yeah, whether it's like a detox tea or a wellness tea or like things like bone broth or all of those things, which is like really unfortunate. And yeah,
people are just as bad at accepting modern medicine, as we've all seen this past year.
Yeah.
As they have been for eternity.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So anyways, yeah, like I said, so I mentioned it contains senna, which is a laxative treatment. And then there's some other, products in there, like caffeine-containing stimulants, like yerba mate. Another product, Garcinia Cambogia, which is claimed to control appetite and burn fat. Dandelion root, which is a diuretic. So again, like laxatives, diuretics, these things are going to, make you lose water weight and make you go to the bathroom probably more times than you're comfortable with in a day. But, you know, you're not going to see any lasting weight loss. You might see some initial water weight or digestive waste shed. But so you'll, sure, you might shed a little bit of weight or feel lighter, but there's no evidence to support detox teas and like lasting significant weight loss.
Right.
So I think we all know that by now.
Or health benefits.
Or health benefits.
There's no detox.
No, no.
You don't detox.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that's, that's the other part. Like, your body can do that for you.
Right.
You know, we don't need, our bodies can get rid of toxins or whatever you want to call them on their own. And you don't need a product to support that. If you do want to support it, you know, eat a varied, nourishing diet, eat enough fiber, drink enough water, exercise, but you don't need to spend like a ton of money on potentially harmful laxative
inert
teas.
Well, other than the laxative part, that part works.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I had a roommate in university who tried a detox tea and it wasn't pretty.
Did you share a bathroom?
I did. I don't actually remember that part, but I just remember her.
Maybe you blocked it out.
Maybe, but I remember her complaining about going to the bathroom a lot and having like abdominal pain and things like that. Yeah. So do not recommend. All right. So we're still in 2016, you know, right around the detox tea Kardashian era. There was also the budding of another really trendy product, Sugar Bear Hair Gummies.
Sugar Bear Hair. Oh, like for like more luscious hair?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yeah. Cool. So the main, I think there's a, you know, there's a handful of different hair supplements out there now. But the first one on, you know, really on the scene, the social media scene, was Sugar Bear Hair. So basically there were these little blue gummies that were shaped like gummy bears. But they were supplements for supposedly for better, more beautiful hair. So when I did a little bit of research on the Sugar Bear Hair Gummies, I came across this article in Best Health Magazine written by a dietitian named Brittany Raftus. And I think she summarized this really well. So I just want to read what she wrote. Yeah. And the article is called "The Truth About Those Hair Supplements You've Seen on Instagram," on Instagram promoted by the Kardashians. So this is what she said. Sugar Bear Hair contains 13 vitamins and minerals associated with optimum hair health. Most notably, taking 2 Sugar Bear Hair gummies daily provides 167 times your daily biotin needs. A B vitamin, also known as vitamin H, due to its longtime association with hair health. Sugar Bear Hair also provides 100% of your daily vitamin B12 needs, as well as significant amounts of both folate and zinc. Research shows that severe deficiencies of these nutrients can visibly impact the health of your hair, leading to increased hair shedding, dullness, and loss of color. When treated with a supplement, these symptoms can be resolved and hair can return to its natural shine and fullness. But the limitation of hair-formulated supplements is that there is no evidence to suggest that their use will improve the quality of your hair when a deficiency doesn't exist.
I mean, we have that tattooed on our foreheads.
Exactly.
We've been saying that for years. Oh,
exactly.
Well, for months.
For months, yeah. So, yeah, like, that reminded me of that article. I think it was from Vox, about the supplement industry. And there was this great quote that said that, you know, a deficiency in vitamin A can affect your vision or something like that. You know, can result in night blindness or whatever it was. But, you know, eating like 10 times the amount of vitamin A that you need is not going to give you night vision. You know, it's not going to give you superpowers. So it's exact. This is the exact same thing. Like, sure, if you have a deficiency in some of these vitamins, like biotin or B12, these things can affect how your hair looks and feels. But if your nutrition is fine and you're not deficient in those things, taking those vitamins is doing literally nothing for you.
Yeah, maybe you just have brassy hair. Also, like maybe like people can have different qualities to like different body parts, different features. And I would also, I'd hazard to question the absorption of all of the things that are in a sugar bear hair gummy if you're not also maintaining a certain diet that's going to allow that kind of absorption, like to the extent that it contains all of these things, 300% of whatever.
Right. Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Yeah, and actually this dietitian, Brittany Raftus, mentions that, you know, she does mention nutrition is closely related to health and the appearance of hair, and that poor nutrition can have a dramatic effect on your health. So things like prolonged restriction of calories or macronutrients, including for the purpose of weight loss, can increase hair shedding and dullness. So if you're dieting or you're severely restricting your calories, you're not eating enough, maybe look there before you turn to a gummy subscription that costs you $65 a month.
Yeah.
You know, maybe turn, make sure that you're taking care of yourself in all the ways that you can before you jump to, you know, a supplement that costs you a ton of money. And then the last thing I wanted to say about that is that, like you kind of already mentioned, like you may just have brassy hair, or there are other ways to protect your hair or work towards healthy looking hair that don't cost any money. So, you know, and especially if you don't have a nutrient deficiency. So things like coloring your hair can damage your hair. Using heat products or heat tools on your hair can damage your hair. We all know these things. So why not like look there, start there. If you're someone who styles your hair all the time with hot tools, then maybe like start spacing out how much you use your curling iron or whatever, or maybe don't bleach your hair so often, or things like that. Because I don't think that a little blue gummy bear is going to reverse the effects of like coloring your hair or using hot tools on your hair for years.
Right.
Right.
That's a really good point.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So we're moving into the last couple on the timeline here. So, okay, I actually didn't put a date for this one, but it was fairly recent and we've already mentioned it. I think it was like, I don't know, it's it must have been 2018, maybe even 2019, because we talked about it in an early episode of the podcast, the appetite suppressant lollipops.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember. What are those called again? I can't remember.
They were the flat. The brand was Flat Tummy Tea.
Oh, right. Flat Tummy. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So the sorbitol. No.
No. Satyreal.
Satyreal. That's it. Thank you.
I listened back to that episode. So we talked about this in the BS of the Week of one of our early episodes. So it was season one, episode 7, called Food Guide Vibes, if you guys want to.
I definitely came up with that.
You did. If you guys want to go back and listen to it. And yeah, so basically we talked about in that BS of the Week, and maybe whenever you want to jump in or take over on this, you can, because I feel like you, I mean, you were the one who presented that BS of the Week. But Satyreal or whatever that product is a compound that's in appetite suppressant lollipops, and it's supposed to help you feel full. But it was so funny listening to you talk about this in the BS of the Week, because you were so angry. And basically, you know, there was when you, I think when you looked up Satyreal or the suppressant lollipops, a quote unquote, like scientific article comes up, and it was,
this is the one that they cite on their website.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And this research study that is supposedly published, or this randomized placebo-controlled trial, had so many limitations that you were really riled up about. And basically, the people who ran the study, and I remember you specifically called them people. You said people, not scientists.
Yeah. because, were people.
Yeah, they weren't from an academic institution, and they actually worked for, or they were funded by, like, basically the Satirial company, or, you know,
the Satirial company funded them. And also those people who quote unquote ran a study were some of them, or one of the authors at least, was somebody who worked at like a marketing firm.
Yes.
Like their whole job was to market this product.
Yeah. It was like it was called Nutraveris, and they help people design and market nutrition and health products. Yeah. So basically, like I said in the episode, they help people scam all of us.
Yeah, it only takes a few clicks to find out.
Yeah, yeah. and you were like, if that's not a red flag, then I've never seen the color red.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. And aside from that, there was only 70 people in the trial. And 30 right, people right. in each group.
Well, so, a trial, again.
Yeah, the quote-unquote trial.
And I remember the effect sizes were so small. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And the bigger issue that, I mean, that I have with appetite suppressants is that having an appetite, we need to, like, get this through our brains, all of us. Mm-hmm. Having an appetite is healthy. Like, the actual feeling of, like, I'm hungry, I want to eat, or that desire to eat, that means that, like, things are functioning properly in your body. You're not ill. Well, I mean, you could be, but not having an appetite in a clinical setting means that there's potentially some underlying illness or something going on that's not right. Mm-hmm. Right?
So, yeah, I mean, if people are having, this is so hard, right? But, like we've talked about before, if people are having what they believe to be a stressful or a difficult relationship with their food-seeking behaviors, trying to suppress them is not the way to go.
Yeah.
I know everybody's different, but something we've talked about before, especially when we were first talking about intuitive eating, is that you need to target those stressors, those mental health issues that feed forward into your food-seeking behaviors, mm-hmm. in order to have a better relationship with your food.
Yeah.
Suppressing your food is not going to make your anxieties go away.
Agreed. Yeah. It's not going to make any of the way that you cope with food or anything like that, it's not going to make any of that go away by trying to, like, suppress your desire to eat.
That's so hard. I mean, like, it's easy to say, but
you're
it's
right.
so hard.
You're right. Okay. The last one on the timeline. So that puts us here in 2021.
It's only been a few days, Hannah. How could you do this?
So it started in 2020, but it's ongoing, let me tell you.
Okay, it's ongoing.
We've talked about this as well, and I don't know if you know this, but Khloe Kardashian is the face of Dose and Co. Collagen.
Oh, no. Is she really? Oh, you know what? It's like a little embarrassing because Jen Aniston has the good collagen deal and Khloe has like the B-list collagen deal.
Oh, no.
That's a little awkward. You know what I mean?
I did actually notice that today when I was doing some research for this episode. Because I was trying to compare the collagen products and I was on sure. Dose & Co. and there's a big picture of Khloe's face. And then I go on Vital Gorgeous. Proteins and there's a big picture of Jennifer Aniston. And I was like, anyway,
Jennifer Aniston, who's been saying for years that drinking Aveeno water has made her look beautiful.
Aveeno water. Okay. It's not Aveeno water. Did you actually mean that? You were joking, right?
It is Aveeno. That's what she used to drink, isn't it?
Aveeno is the skincare.
Oh,
there was a mineral water that she drank. I forget what water it was, but they're two different
Don't
things.
Drink Aveeno. Do not drink Aveeno.
Yeah, don't drink your face cream. Okay. Oh, I gotta gather myself here. All right. So Dose & Co., I looked at their Instagram first, and their whole brand is that they're high dose collagen powders.
That means nothing.
It means nothing. I literally tried to figure out what that means, and I could not figure it out. There was nothing on their website about why their collagen is higher, like there's more collagen in their products, or I didn't understand.
Just a bigger package of the same proteins.
I guess, yeah. So they sell collagen creamer that you can put in your coffee. They sell collagen protein powders. And they sell the unflavored, the traditional collagen peptides. So the one thing that stood out to me on the website for this Dose & Co. collagen, where Khloe Kardashian's face is, you know, plastered all over, is the section on the in the product section, the user trials.
Okay, I'm ready.
89% of people surveyed felt that their skin looked healthier after 1 month of using Dose & Co. 83% of people surveyed felt that their skin's appearance improved after 1 month. Blah, blah, blah. It goes on. After 2 months, 78%.
It goes on with all these unverified.
Right. Like, these people
bias,
surveyed.
Subjective. Yeah.
These
yeah.
anecdotal effects. Like these people
self-reports.
Just, self-reports. Yeah. People saying whether or not they felt like taking this product made their nails grow faster or made their hair grow faster. Like, you can't, unless you're literally measuring that, like, you could look in the mirror and be like, yeah, my hair looks longer today. But anyways, and then...
You're trying to justify paying, whatever, $90.
Exactly, exactly. So then at the bottom, under the user trials, it says, little asterisk, results based on 59 participants over a 56-day period.
That's I'm so happy they did that work.
Not even 60 people, and they're, like, claiming user trials. Like, 78% of these 60 people, like, claimed or surveyed, felt that their nails were longer. Like, come on. That's not sufficient evidence to say whether or not these products help your hair or your skin or your nails or whatever, what have you.
Imagine if that was the number of people for, like, the Pfizer vaccine. Like,
right.
Like, it's so obvious to see that that's not enough. Like, if publicly, like, on the news, they were saying, we've tested the vaccine on 60 people.
Yeah.
You probably won't get COVID.
And 78% of them felt good.
Yeah. It's probably fine. You'd be outraged.
Yeah,
but
100%.
For this, people are like, I guess that's enough.
They're like, oh, it works. Totally. Yeah. So I just thought I would read that because I thought that was really interesting. And then, I mean, I just wanted to highlight, we've already talked about collagen in an entire episode. So that's season 2, episode 3. If you want to check it out, it's called Collagen Powder, Real or Hype. But basically, you know, the research on collagen is so limited and there's really not enough to actually support any of the claims about your hair, your skin, your nails. Sure, if you...
It's protein.
Yeah. If you're looking to add more protein to your diet and you like the unflavored collagen peptides because you can't taste them in your smoothie or whatever.
It still tastes funny to me, the unflavored stuff.
Oh, really?
I still taste it.
I don't know. Yeah. I honestly, I've tried it and I don't notice it, but it's just so expensive I don't use it often. And again, it's not a complete protein. I think you need to note that as well. So, you know, now these companies are kind of, they're not just selling the collagen peptides, they're creating their collagen protein powder and things like that. And I just want to note, like, if you're an athlete and you need to recover from your workouts or properly support your muscles after workouts, you want to go for a complete protein, something that's offering you all of the essential amino acids. And collagen only contains, what is it, like, three? How many amino acids? It's in the episode.
It's a handful.
There's only a handful, right? So that's just something to note. But it will, you know, kind of boost your protein intake if that's something you're looking for. But again, most of us day to day do get enough protein anyways.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
This was an amazing, gorgeous timeline.
I feel like I'm so sorry. I feel like I talked forever.
Should we write an article and get it published about this?
I think we seriously should. We should pitch it to a magazine.
You know, we should actually start writing articles together.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, we should do that. Okay. I really appreciate that. Walking down memory lane with the Kardashians is a treat. As much as Keeping Up with the Kardashians was entertaining, when they had Kim and Courtney Take Miami as a spinoff, that really touched my heart.
Yeah.
Courtney is the most outrageous person, and she's kind of like a dark horse. Like, she's not always featured at the front of the show. And you get to see more of her in Takes Miami. And I mean, the way that they, I mean, everything's so overproduced and scripted, but it's like, you just couldn't believe, like, I know I've talked about this before, but it's my favorite thing when they had an episode in Takes Miami where Chloe and Courtney are doing a radio show in Miami, and Chloe allegedly walks in with a tube of cocaine. She's like, I found this in the bathroom, but not, it's not, definitely not cocaine. Like, that's illegal. Like, they wouldn't be showing that. This is the most ridiculous things. And you're, it's great to watch and eat.
It is. It's, you know what? Like, I have to give it, this is what you were saying earlier, like, about people being fans of the Kardashians or them touching your lives. Like, I can't say that I'm fans of the Kardashians as, you know, as people, but I'm definitely a fan of the show. Like, it's just entertaining.
I really appreciate you doing this academic work.
Oh, thank you.
Going through, giving up with the Kardashians.
It's really, it's solid work, right? Okay.
Speaking of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, one of the, I mean, how do you even, it's a B-list show, there's a B-list character, so what does that make? But one of the kind of side characters on Keeping Up with the Kardashians was Jonathan, who is allegedly Kim Kardashian's best friend. Yeah. I don't know. They keep harping on about that. Are they? I never really know if that's real. Like,
I don't know. Friendly are they? He's literally been on the show since, like, the first season as her best friend, so... I guess so.
Yeah. So Jonathan was just there most of the time. And he has made fun of this himself before, like, kind of like mooching off of the Kardashian celebrity in order to give himself a profile.
Yep.
And he's turned that into a social media presence over the years.
Yep.
There's this amazing article, which we will link, from the LA Times, called From Kim Kardashian's Bestie to Dining Deity, The Rise of Food God. So if people don't know, Jonathan, who is the side character on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, now has, well, the show doesn't exist anymore, and he basically had no job, I guess, for a while. So he started, he claimed the title Food God. He's allegedly legally changed his name to Food God. And he uses his Instagram as a platform to feature what I think he would also describe as very outrageous and very extravagant meals that he gets, you know, mostly pretty high profile restaurants to make for him. And he basically just takes pictures of them with his face like stretched out and like screaming, like, whoa, like, I cannot believe this sort of thing. There's a lot of really incredible quotations in this article, and they seriously, like, they make fun of him so hard. Like, it's just so good to read. Like, it's really, really entertaining to read. And these two authors of the article, Andrea Chang and Jen Harris, like, props to you. They would do incredible doing a roast, because the whole thing is just a roast of him in the most professional way. Like, I don't... So it starts off with a quotation from him where he says, I would consider myself more of a modern day food critic. I want to go to a place where somebody sends me this insane cotton candy burrito, and I'm like, this is amazing, 3 A's. So, and then the following line in the article is, Jonathan Chaban is not a food critic. Like, they're just like, no, you don't, you cannot claim this title. Like, you're totally, you are not at the echelon that you claim to be. Like, they're basically trying to say, like, this is just clickbait Instagram stuff with, like, cheese pulls and, like, gold leaf, gold foil, chicken wings. Like, you know, just gimmicky food. Gimmicky. It's all very gimmicky. So he has no professional culinary background, but he's, you know, claiming this kind of status as a food influencer, I guess you could say. But it's really paying dividends. So he has more than 3 million Instagram followers now. And he gets minimum $30,000 for appearances.
Wow.
And he has a multi-million dollar, multi-year deal with a burger chain in Miami, where he works on creating menu items. Oh, sorry, it's in Los Angeles. Okay. Works on creating menu items for them. So this place is known for sliders. That's their whole thing.
Okay.
And apparently one of his genius ideas was for them to create a full-sized burger. So he's getting millions of dollars for these ideas. So, I mean, props to them. Amazing marketing decision genius. Or whatever. For
yeah. Genius.
I mean, he does have 3 million followers, so maybe it is.
Right.
They talk about how one thing that he like gripes on about is how like outdated so many things are. He has all these like really ridiculous opinions about stuff. He says like horseradish, mustard, and cinnamon are evil. He said when stuff is not crispy, it's a sin. But then he follows it up with like why are all food critics writing about how like how the fish wasn't fully cooked or how the ratatouille on the side wasn't good enough. Like no one cares about the texture of food, but he's obsessed with stuff being crispy. Like he's right, literally right. Just like all over the place, kind of just saying whatever, you know what I mean? He's just trying to make money as far as I can see.
Totally.
But regardless of what I think of him being a fraud in terms of food influencing, or if you can call it food blogging,
right.
He says, he's very authentic. Quote, I drove 25 minutes to go get a cotton candy burrito. They don't pay me. I lose money for the $50 Uber back and forth, plus the foot massage that I stopped for on the way there. So it's very, very authentic. It's just like weird. Like this guy's just totally
what a
wacky.
Weirdo.
Totally. And so you think like this is ridiculous. Sure, he has 3 million Instagram followers, but what can that really mean? I mean, obviously he's making tons of money. But weirdly, you know, it seems to have an actual effect on these businesses that he features.
Right.
So, for example, he had posted about a bagel store in Brooklyn. I think it's actually called Bagel Store. And they have a product called the Rainbow Bagel. Mm-hmm. They use food coloring in the bagel dough. And overnight, after he posted about their rainbow bagels, they got 10,000 new Instagram followers. In 24 hours, they got 10,000 new Instagram followers. And they got $200,000 in orders placed online. I know.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It's like, imagine being the owner of that store. Like, this outrageous social media personality actually has like sway
right.
on how things happen in this industry somehow. I mean, some of it is ridiculous too. Like one of the posts is like he did a review, I guess, of Sour Patch Kids cereal.
Okay.
And his quote is, "The smell is awesome. I hope they taste as good in the milk." And then he says, "It's like sour and sweet at the same time. I don't know how that's possible. It's tangy and sweet." Like, he's just blown away. Incredible journalism. Anyway, so I just think, like, he's totally ridiculous. I can't believe this is what he's doing and it's actually working for him. But mm-hmm. I wonder if maybe as time goes on, I don't know, maybe he'll do some good and, like, help small businesses out. I think mostly he's been focusing on pretty large companies that have afforded
right
like paying him in order to feature his stuff, even though he claims that he doesn't get paid for the food that he features on his Instagram. I don't think that's true.
I agree. You don't have 3 million followers and not get paid to post something.
No.
And anyone with 3 million followers is leveraging the fact that they have 3 million followers to get paid.
Like, absolutely.
There's no you don't
absolutely.
Do that stuff for free. And I wanted to say, like, it's like you were saying how that bagel shop got like 10,000 followers overnight and $200,000 worth of orders. And that's what I mean by like when people really are a fan, like, so like fans of the Kardashians, like hardcore fans would be hardcore fans of Jonathan or Food God. So they will literally just do like everything that these celebrities do or these influencers do just because they love them so much.
Amazing point.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, just because it's not happening in your world, like just because you and I aren't buying Skims shapewear doesn't mean like that people aren't buying it elsewhere. Because obviously these companies are thriving and making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
It's like, it sounds so ridiculous to say like, oh, like we should be you know, talking about how these things can be harmful and how these influencers are selling these gimmicky products, people will say, oh, well, that's so obvious that it's gimmicky. Well, lots of people buy them.
Yeah.
Like, it's still happening, even though you don't think it is.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not like, I don't want to, I'm not like shaming someone who's a fan of someone and bought their product or bought their merch or things like that. Like, obviously,
sure,
I'm a fan of some things and I would buy something maybe that some, I'm trying to think of someone I'm a fan of, but I don't know, that, you know, is selling or whatever.
Yeah.
So I can see why. It's just interesting.
Totally.
Yeah. That.
Totally. I agree with you.
How much influence can affect, like,
absolutely
everything.
Like, even though it seems so ridiculous that people would be listening to maybe somebody who's not an expert in nutrition.
Yeah.
I would say Kim Kardashian is not an expert in nutrition. No. Even though it seems ridiculous that people would be listening to her about nutrition, they do.
Yep. All of them. All the Kardashians. Yeah. Well, you know what? That was hilarious. And that was a fun episode. I think we also, not only was it entertaining and fun, we're just our biggest fans here. I don't know. I feel like we still did some debunking
and
so it all kind of came together. But anyways, we hope you guys enjoyed that convo. Now.
Yeah. Do you have a quick tasty? I have a quick one.
Yes, I have a quick one. Well, yeah.
Okay. Could I ask you?
Yeah, please.
May I have the permission to ask you?
Yes.
Okay. Hannah, would you please tell me what has been tasty to you this week?
Okay. So it was not exactly this week, but it's since we last chatted.
Nope. I don't want to hear it.
Oh, my God.
It has to be from this
week.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I thought you were going to say it earlier, and you didn't say it when you were like, you're wearing your new jewelry, your new, you said necklace, and I was like...
Oh my gosh, no, I forgot about that. You know what? I was wondering if we were going to talk about it, but I guess we are. I mean, you've already told.
I mean, everyone listening, I mean, you probably already know, but over the Christmas break, I became a fiancé.
I became a fiancé. That's an amazing way to say it.
Woohoo! Yes. So that was very exciting and very surprising.
You have a glow.
Yeah, everyone says that. You have
a glow that can't
glow.
Come from supplements.
Yeah.
A glow that can't come
just
from
just a diamond ring.
Just. We should start selling those.
We should.
You'll get your post-engagement glow from our supplement.
There you go.
You put
from
it on
our
your finger.
Diamond supplement.
Yeah.
There we go. So yeah, obviously that's my tasty. It did not happen in the last week, but... in the last few weeks since we've chatted with you guys, we took a little recording break over Christmas, and there we go. I'm getting married.
I mean, except for this past hour-ish, I haven't stopped thinking about it. I mean, you know that because of what I've been texting
you. I know, yeah.
I literally haven't stopped thinking about
it. Tarek's been sending me wedding dresses and suggestions and everything. I love it. Okay, so Tarek, what's been tasty for you this week?
Mine's really easy and also very quick. I don't know why I never thought about this before, but literally my days are so minute to minute right now with school. I'm trying to take as many shortcuts as possible to create full meals that have all the food groups.
Right.
So for a while I was on a big kick, like hydrating beans, cooking beans, and having beans as part of my meals for the week. But now, you know what? I've just been buying refried beans in a can. They already come, like, they're pre-seasoned. You can get lots of different ones. Black beans, pinto beans, you name it.
Yep.
There's all kinds in the store. They're very affordable. It's a really good way to get some carbs, really good way to get some protein. Obviously, not the only way, but if you like beans, it's great to throw on rice, great to put in a burrito. I don't know, great with anything.
Yeah.
On the side, as a dip, would make nachos. Like, beans are so... beans are beautiful.
No,
they're so multifaceted.
They are. I love refried beans. Something I don't eat enough
and
of.
They're literally, it's just like out of the can. You don't do anything.
Yeah.
You just out of the can, you use it.
Yeah. That's what it. Do you, so what's your favorite way to eat them?
I've just been making lots of wraps recently.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good way to add some protein to your wraps, some refried beans.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my tasty.
I love it. And I need to buy some refried beans. Okay. Mm. Well, thank you guys for tuning in for another episode of No BS Nutrition. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you had a laugh. I hope you learned something. And yeah, give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter. We'll link our bios in the description. And please leave us a rating and review. You guys, we haven't had a good review in a long time. We haven't had a review in a long time.
They haven't all been bad.
No, they've all been good.
We'd love a review. And please give us 5 stars because we made new art for our podcast.
We did. Yeah, check it out if you haven't seen it.
Weren't you sick of that yellow circle?
We were both sick of it.
Yeah. I was sick of it.
Yeah.
And now we look, follow at Bobby McNair Photography on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
He takes amazing photos, and he took a gorgeous one of us.
Yep.
Arms folded, white tops,
looking
stunning in front of a tan wall.
Yep.
What else do you want?
It's beautiful. Yep. All right. Well, I don't think there's anything left to say, so we will talk to you guys next week.
Yes. Miss you already. Bye.
Bye.